Alrighty. Haxamea
to everybody.
And Haxamea to all those who are watching this with us. Anybody want to get a drink before we start? Are you thirsty? Actually, that's the name of the message today. Are you thirsty? So I am going to start in Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1. And it says, "Blessed is the man who has not walked in the counsel of the wicked and has not stood in the way of the sinners and has not sat in the seat of scorners. But his delight is only in the Torah of Yahweh." Praise Yah. "And he meditates in his Torah day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivulets of water, which will give its fruit in its season, and its leaves will not wither, and all which he does will prosper." Right? So the person who makes Yahweh his life and delights in the Torah, he'll be like rivulets of water. Water is life. Human beings are made out of water, right? Water and dirt. And the earth is almost three-quarters water. And water is the most important substance for life. So we know we need food, but people can go, you know, a month or more without food. But water, you could basically only go a few days without watering your system. We know there's been a couple of miracles in the Bible where people went 40 days with no food or water. But water is the most important substance for life. Psalm 23. The most known psalm and one of the known scriptures in the Bible, the Psalm of David. "Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me to waters of rest." He leads me to waters of rest. So Yahweh is living water, and everything in scripture, spiritually and even physically, as we're going to see here today, has to deal with water. And that's why the message is called, "Are You Thirsty?" Are you thirsty? Yeshua leads us to pure water. But the key is, are you staying there? A thirst for worldly mammon and lust will lead a person to a mirage in the wilderness where they can die from thirst, right? So we're going to see here that Yahweh and Yeshua give us all the spiritual and physical water we need in our life. But for some people, you know, like I did that message many years ago on sheep and goats. And for the sheep, you know, he just knows the shepherd and comes to the shepherd. For the goat doesn't want the good water. And you'll see all the sheep together near the pure water that the shepherd brings them to. But the goat will be off by himself in muddy, dirty water. So that's the question, you know, are you staying there? Yeshua leads us to pure water, but are you staying there? A thirst for worldly mammon and lust will lead a person to a mirage in the wilderness, and that's what happens sometimes. You know, when we're looking at all these false things that people get into, you know, that are only mirages, they're not real water. If Yeshua is our shepherd, we will lack nothing, not being a goat looking into other pastures, right? If you've never heard that message, please go online. You'll enjoy it. It is a really, really good message about sheep and goats and the difference between them. Let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. "Truly, truly, I say to you that he who does not enter into the sheepfold of the flock by the gate, but climbs up by another place, he is a thief and the robber." And if you remember, at a sheepfold, the shepherd literally sleeps in the gate. He sleeps in the gate, his feet are there, his head is there. He's sleeping with his rod, you know, to protect the sheep. So that's why the thief doesn't come in through the gate. He's got to go another way, because the shepherd is protecting the gate to come in. So he's trying to get in another way to get the sheep. "But the one entering through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The doorkeeper opens to him, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes in front of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." You know, and that's very true. The sheep, they hear the voice, they know the voice of the shepherd. But they will not follow a foreigner, never. But they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of the strangers. And in the Laodicean era, right, Laodicean ruled by the people, people are not hearing the voice of the shepherd and the shepherds that Yeshua put. What are they hearing? They're hearing the voices from the internet of all of this different stuff, right? Only the true shepherd can give pure water for his sheep. So are you going to dirty water holes, or are you only drinking from the water of life? Are you a stray sheep neglecting your Bible, yet find enough time to surf the internet for all these different theories, right? Flat earth. That didn't just come up from someone reading their Bible. It's impossible. That came up from someone surfing on the internet, and like I said, then it pulls you away from truth. And reading apocryphal books like the Gospel of Judas, you know, where Judas really wasn't such a bad guy, right? This stuff that was written, like I said, during the Byzantine era and the 5th and 6th and 7th century by priests that were out there in these monasteries with a lot of wine and a lot of time on their hands. And after, you know, a few months of drinking a lot of wine and having a lot of time, they came up with all kinds of theories. Like I said, Judas really wasn't such a bad guy. Right? The Book of Enoch, that's a new one, where many people, even in the Sacred Name Movement and Sabbath Keepers, have fallen prey for this nonsense. There was no alphabet in the time of Enoch. So how can Enoch have a book? And the book contradicts Scripture. So the calendar is not a solar calendar. It's a lunar solar calendar. But people are falling for it. And it's, like I said, so many, and the main thing, like I said, if you look, read my book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Her, which is an excellent, wonderful, the best book in the world, I believe, for congregational history. I don't believe you will ever find a more thorough and true book for congregational history than that book. And what it shows is, throughout the last 2,000 years, of course, the believers had all the truth. The dead are not, you know, are asleep in the grave, and they don't go to heaven. But the two main things that you see with all the believers from the days of Yeshua until today is the 14th Passover, not the 15th Passover, and you know that the proper calendar that came from the Bible, you know, and did not come from the Book of Enoch, and the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day and the 14th Passover were the two main things that the believers for the last 2,000 years had. And the people that fall prey for this silly Book of Enoch and this stuff, a lot of them are keeping the Sabbath this month on a Tuesday, next month on a Thursday, mixing it. And one thing is sure, if you even know a tiny bit of Hebrew, you'll know that HaShabbat is the seventh day, whatever day you think it is. If you think time has changed and you think the Sabbath is on a Wednesday, it will never be Tuesday the next week. It's always going to be the same day. 7-7-7-7 for history. So people fall and pray for that. And like I said, fall and pray for the false calendar and those things because they're coming by muddy waters. But there is only one tree of life. The only pure water is the word of Yahweh. So again, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Is Yahweh and Yeshua, are they filling you up with his word, or are you a goat that's going out to all these water holes? Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. And he who has no money, come buy grain and eat. Eat, yes, come buy grain, wine and milk without silver and without price, right? All of these things, when you see wine and milk, it's showing abundance of people. There's no famine, there's no missing of food. There's no not having rain in season, right? Why do you weigh out silver for that which is not bread, and your labor for what never satisfies, right? And that's what will happen. You keep going to the internet and looking for your doctrine. You keep going to the book, the Gospel of Judas, and you know, the Book of Enoch, and all these other apocryphal books. You'll never be satisfied. You're just going to get more and more and more, and to the point that your belief will be so ridiculous and so stupid that you'll have no credibility with anybody anymore. Listen carefully to me and eat the good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Bend your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will cut an everlasting covenant with you, the faithful mercies of David. We have 27 lessons online. Those lessons are inspired by the Ruach HaKodesh. They are biblical. They are there. They're very, very, very detailed. And they're on just about every doctrine. Maybe not all of them. They're still going. I'm still writing the lessons. But they are on everything. And they're so detailed in Scripture that as long as you stay with those 27 lessons and you memorize them, you can't go wrong. But like I said, people that want to get into all this silly stuff and rotating Sabbath and flat earth, they have absolutely zero proof of anything. Not Bible, not science, not logic. And which shows then they have no proof. Their witness in the world becomes nothing. They become nothing but silliness, you know, as people see them changing from this and that and whatnot. So that's what it says. Why are they buying? Why are you buying this stuff? But whoever thirsts, come to Yahweh. His word is enough. We don't have to go past his word for these things. Yahweh calls us to his true words of life, but human nature wants to go its own way. Our only thirst should be toward the word of Yahweh. That should be our thirst. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 4. Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 4. But people in life, they want the things of commercial Babylon, right? They're on the internet day and night. Many of them, social media and Facebook and all this stuff. But all we need is the word of Yahweh. And praise Yahweh that for 3,500 years, he has preserved his word, technically for 6,000 years since Adam and Eve. And we have that word. We have that pure word of life. We have that living water in our life. And that's the thing that gives peace to our soul. And I remember becoming a believer, you know, as Yahweh was tweaking my mind to come and search for him. When I'd see literature from, you know, churches and Jehovah Witnesses and this stuff, I don't know, it didn't sit right with me. It was like my spirit was uneasy. But when I got the words of truth, when I got the words of the Bible, and I got literature from the Church of God that goes all the way back to the first century, right? It was just like such peace to my soul. Like, of course the dead are asleep. Wow, of course. No man has gone to heaven. Of course people aren't in heaven. And of course the Holy Spirit isn't a person. Of course it's the Spirit of Yahweh. As you read line upon line and precept upon precept in Scripture to Scripture, it all makes so much sense. And it's one thing for people that never have it. Like I said, if you were, you know, a Catholic and then a Protestant, then a Jehovah's Witness, then a born-again Christian, and then all of a sudden you come to the truth. But once you've had that truth, like I said, once you've been to Mount Zion, and you've been to the top of the mountain, where do you go from there? And there's people that literally have had the truth. They've been to Mount Zion. They've been to the top of the mountain. You know where they go? They fall off the cliff because it's not enough for them. They're a goat. They're not a sheep. They're a goat, and it's never enough, and they're always wanting more. And they don't stay the safety in the camp. One of the lessons I learned at the Bible school, every year I learn a very, very important lesson in my life, and one year was don't leave the camp, because within the camp, that's where Yahweh has his protection. That's where he has his elders. That's where he has his cherubs. And when you leave the camp, you're on your own, right? You follow the cloud because the camp is with the cloud. But when you don't follow the cloud, you wind up on your own, and then you don't know where to go. You lose any sense of direction. So Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 4 says, I made my works great. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. This is, of course, Solomon talking, right? The commercial Babylon of that day. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted trees in them for every fruit. I made pools of water for myself to water from there them the forest shooting forth trees. I bought slaves and slave girls, and the sons of the house were mine. Also, livestock, a herd and a great flock were mine above all that were before me in Jerusalem. I also gathered to me silver and gold and treasures of kings and of provinces. I made ready male singers and female singers for myself and the delights of the sons of men, a concubine and concubines. And I became great and increased more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom stayed with me. And all that my eyes desired I did not set aside from them. I withheld not my heart from all joy, for my heart rejoiced from all my labor. And this was my part from all my labor. Then I faced on all my works that my hands had done, and on the labor that I had labored to do. Right? So what did he say after he got everything? He had everything you can imagine, just like today, right? All the money in the world, and buy big houses, and buy all the things you want. And what does he say? As he looked on all these things, and lo, all was vanity and striving after wind, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can a man do who comes after the king when he has already done it? Then I saw that there is advantage to wisdom above folly, even as light has advantage over darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And I also know that one event happens to all of them. And I said in my heart, as the event of the foolish one, even so it will happen to me. And why then was I more wise? Then I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For there is not a memory of the wise more than the fool forever, in that already the days to come will be forgotten. And how does the wise die above the fool? So then I hated life. These people that are following after this muddy water, they are never, ever going to be happy because it's all a bunch of lies. So then I hated life because the work that is done under the sun is evil to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind. Right? So here it is, right? The Sabbath that Yahweh opens up our mind to it, this covenant with him in every seventh day, every Saturday. That is the seventh day, not Saturn's day, but the Sabbath, HaShabbat. And every Saturday, every Shabbat, we come out of the world and we have this peace in us. And then all of a sudden, sometimes people that have had that for 5, 10, 20 years, they go off into silliness and they start keeping the Sabbath Tuesday this month, Wednesday next month, Friday the next month. And there's no peace in there. There's nothing that comes from there. And you know what? They never stay with it anyway. After that, they'll wind up losing it altogether. And many of them even wind up denying Yeshua as the Messiah. That's the end result that comes from it. Because once you lose the truth, it is a slippery slope that goes all the way down to hell. Little by little or quickly, that's where they are going. And many of them even wind up, because there's only one shepherd. And the true shepherd has one way. And when you lose that way, sorry for you. If you're looking for pure water in commercial Babylon, you will never, ever, ever be satisfied. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is incurable. Some translations say desperately wicked. Who can know it? And it's the heart of people that just cannot submit themselves to Yahweh. They can't submit themselves. I'll never follow a man. And they wind up getting into all the most evil things. And the worst part about it is their life is a testimony to how wrong they are, because they're never, ever happy. They're never happy. They're always miserable. They're jumping from thing to thing. And it's a testimony to how false their belief is. And it's very, very sad. So corrupted, prideful, selfish human nature wants physical things, but they don't look to the spiritual things. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah 2 and verse 13 says, for my people have done two evils. They have forsaken me, you know, Yahweh is speaking, the fountain of living waters. The fountain of living waters, the waters that never dries up, to hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that hold no water. And I told this story many times years ago. We had a house in the mountains that didn't have running water coming to it. It was cistern water, and we didn't know it till after we were in there that the cistern was broken and couldn't hold any water. And wow, without water, you don't have life. That's what Yahweh says. Two evils they've done. First, they've forsaken him, the fountain of living water, and what did they exchange it for? For broken cisterns that had no water. That's what people are doing there. And that's why I say, what are you getting when you're taking, you've had... the Sabbath, you've had the covenant, you've had this stuff, and what are you exchanging it for? You know, we're praise Yahweh, we haven't had too much trouble with this silliness on flat earth, but we've had a few that have left the congregation. What did they get in return? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. A silly, stupid, false theory that the guy who actually started making this up laughed about it. I saw an interview with him, and he laughed and said, I'm just into conspiracy theories. I never thought anyone would actually believe this. Because it's impossible scientifically for the earth to be flat. There's a curvature. And that's why all you have to do is look how the sun sets. The sun wouldn't set if there wasn't a curvature to the earth. It's so easy. There wouldn't be every month there's a new moon, right? When there's a conjunction. You couldn't have a conjunction according to the flat earth theory, you know, because the earth would be here and they would be there. So it's absolutely so silly and made up. And yet, unfortunately, some people are doing that. They're forsaking Yahweh, the living water, and for what? For cisterns that have no water. John 4 John 4. But I really, I want to go more on this sermon, on more showing than the false, what the false people are getting into. I feel bad for them. But what are you going to do? We have free will. That's part of how Yahweh made us in His image. But I want to show what that really means of Yahweh and Yeshua being the living water in our life. Because like I said, water is everything. Yahweh is living water. And that's why I said for years, the temple or sanctuary of Yahweh could not be where they're calling, where Fort Antonia is, which is exactly the size of Fort Antonia, where they're calling the Temple Mount. But it's in the city of David where there's living water, the Gihon Spring, Gihon the Gushing. That's the only place in all of Jerusalem that has the living water that comes from. And they needed it for the temple sacrifices because they couldn't have it without the living water. And the Bible talks about in the Psalms, Yahweh sits above the water. That's where He was. So, John 4 and verse 7. And this is with the Samaritan woman, right? A woman came out of Samaria to draw water. And Yeshua said to her, "Give me some to drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city that they might buy provisions. Then the Samaritan woman said to Him, "How do you, being a Jew, ask to drink from me, I being a Samaritan woman?" For Jews do not have social dealings with Samaritans in those days. Yeshua answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of Yahweh and who is the one saying to you, 'Give me to drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would give you living water." The woman said to her, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. From where then do you have living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and of his sons and his sheep drank out of it?" Yeshua answered and said to her, "Everyone drinking of this water will thirst again. But everyone who drinks from the waters that I give him will not thirst forever." I have no thirst. When Yahweh opened up my mind to His truth and He showed me His truth and His word, my thirst is done. I have no desire to search for more. I study His word, you know, to grow in the grace and knowledge of it, to understand it in a better way. But I'm not looking for new truth. Everyone who drinks from the water that I give him will not thirst forever. But those waters that I give to him will become in him a spring of water that will spring up into life that is eternal. Right? It'll spring up to life that is eternal. Drop down to verse 23. "But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father also seeks such that ones worshiping him. Elohim is spirit, and the ones worshiping him must worship in spirit and truth." And that's why I say, Yahweh opens our mind to all truth. And when you believe something that is even a little bit untrue, like the flat earth, it has nothing to do with spiritual things. But since it's a lie, when you believe it, you start making your mind to believe other lies. So you either believe the truth or you don't believe the truth. And if you're going to start believing lies, you're going to start falling away into other lies. So the only true water is through Yeshua. There is no other true water. And that's why I say the internet is, to me, it's like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you know, and the Tower of Babel and the end time, the internet. And there's good and evil on there. The problem is mankind doesn't know how to discern what is good and what is evil. So that's what it says in Isaiah. In the end time, he'll call, not just the end time, but all times, but especially the end time, mankind will call good for evil and evil for good. So if you are going away from Scripture, right, and you're going and surfing the internet looking for all kinds of things, you're not going to know how to decipher what is right and what is wrong, and you're going to deceive yourself. John 6 and verse 35. John 6 and verse 35. Because there's only one true living water, and that's through Yahweh and Yeshua through His word. John 6, 35 says, "Yeshua said to them, 'I am the bread of life. The one coming to me will not at all hunger, and the one believing me will not thirst never.'" You will not thirst never. When you build your relationship with Yeshua, even when you go through challenges in your life, I don't call them trials, I call them challenges, because they are challenges and we overcome them. They're all for our good. And even that will make you stronger and will make your relationship with Yeshua stronger going through these challenges. So that's what he says. You will never thirst, never, but you'll never have that emptiness that you had before you knew Yahweh and Yeshua. You'll never have that emptiness you had before baptism, where just life seemed meaningless, you know, and your life seemed empty. You will have that living water, and you will be filled forever. And not just in this life, but in eternal life to come. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11, because, like I said, when you read my book, The Gates of Hell Shall Not Prevail Against Her, you see that Yahweh trained the 12 apostles, you know, and then disciples with them and other pastors and leaders and, you know, teachers. And like I said, if he only had to come and pay the penalty of our sins, his ministry would have been basically 3 days and three nights. But Yeshua had to train. He had to train leadership so that it would go on. The same way that Moses, when he was leaving, he said, Father, don't leave the people without a leader or they'll fall away. And what did God say? Put your hands on Yehoshua and, you know, ordain him so that the people will not be without leadership. And that's the same thing Yeshua did. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. He left leadership so people would not fall for this silliness that's there. And like I said, in 2,000 years, every single true leader of Yahweh always knew that what we call today Saturday is the Sabbath day. Time has not been lost, right? And in many cultures, Spanish culture, Italian culture, the word is not Saturday, it's Sabado for Sabbath. And Greek, the same thing, Sabado. So in many cultures, Saturday is the Sabbath. Sabado is Sabbath. It's not another day of the week, and it always been. And it's always a seven-day cycle. And think about this. You have almost 200 countries in the world, right? From everything from Christian to Hindu to atheist to all kinds of weird religions and everything that's out there, right? And yet the entire world keeps a seven-day week because Yahweh is not the author of confusion. And it's always been that way. It's been that way because Yahweh knows it. So the Sabbath has not been lost. The Sabbath, we know what the Sabbath is. The Jews that keep very meticulous records of this, they've always kept the seventh day and they have the records of it and they never changed. And it's on the seventh day of the week, which we call Saturday. In Hebrew, you have day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then HaShabbat, the seventh day. That is never, never changed. So Yahweh has had elders because all the elders have known this. All the elders have always believed that the Passover is the 14th day of the first month. All of Yeshua's elders have always believed the dead are asleep and they're not in heaven. And they believe in a resurrection. And they believe in the kingdom of Yahweh in the millennium and the thousand years. All the elders. That is the doctrine that Yeshua and the apostles gave and was handed down to me and I handed down to the next person. And it's here today. So Ephesians 4 and verse 11, right? And indeed, Yeshua, he has assigned some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds and teachers. Why? For the perfecting, in the Aramaic, it's literally the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Messiah, until we all may come to the unity of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of Elohim, to a full-grown man, right? Mature. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Messiah, so that we may no longer be children being blown and carried away by every wind of false doctrine. And there, I don't believe there's ever been more false doctrine there than there is today. That we are not like children being blown and carried away by every wind of false doctrine, of men who through their craftiness are very skilled in deceiving the people. You could say that again. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things who is the head, the Messiah. Speaking the truth in love. So the truth never changes. Leaders are there to protect the brethren and bring them the pure water. But the Laodicean, he only wants to drink the muddy water, the dirty water. The Laodicean is the goat. He will never follow a man. And the Laodicean is the one who brings all this falsehood and this evil. Exodus 17, I'll read verse 1 through 3 and then drop down to verse 6. It says, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel pulled up stakes from the wilderness of Sin. Last time I was in Saudi Arabia, I found it and I went through it. And Yahweh willing, this time we will too. On their journeys, the mouth of Yahweh, and they camped in Rephidim. And there was no water for the drinking of the people, right? They didn't have water. And the people fought with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said, why do you fight with me? Why do you tempt Yahweh, right? Yahweh always gives the living water. So you don't have to tempt him demanding and screaming for it. All you have to do is ask him. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, why then have you caused us to come up from Egypt to kill me and my sons and my livestock with thirst? Drop down to verse 6. He says, "Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people will drink, and Moses did it before the eyes of the elders of Israel." And we've seen that rock before, and it's 65 feet high, split in the middle. You see the erosion patterns of massive amounts of water that have come out of that rock in a place that only gets about an inch of water a year out in the desert. So amazing, amazing, but that's what Yahweh said. All you have to do is ask for the water, and he will give massive amounts of water that you'll never be thirsty again. Like Yeshua said to the Samaritan woman, the water he gives, the water of life, you will never be thirsty again. But if you don't take that pure water, you know what's going to happen? You're going to thirst, and what are you going to do? You're going to go, your thirst is going to bring you to the prince of the power of the airwaves, Satan himself, and you're going to drink the muddy water that he gives you. Back to John, back to the book of John, verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. John 7 and verse 37. It says, "Now on the high day," this is talking about Sukkot, the last great day, "which is the last of the feast," the last great day, "Yeshua was standing and he cried and said, 'If a man thirst, let him come to me and drink.'" Are you thirsty? Come to Yeshua. "Any man that thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And anyone who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, rivers of living water will flow from his belly." Rivers of living water. "But he said this concerning the Ruach HaKodesh," the Holy Spirit, "which the ones believing into him were about to receive, for the Ruach HaKodesh was not yet given." The Holy Spirit wasn't given because Yeshua was not yet glorified. Wow. So that's what he's saying. You want it. You got it. First, you got to get the Ruach HaKodesh. You got to get the Spirit of Yahweh, or your mind will not be able to concept, right? Right from wrong, the tree of the knowledge of good from the tree of the knowledge of evil. But once you do, once you repent of your sins and you're baptized by an elder of Yahweh, then wow, then you will get that living water. Those who believe and follow will get the living water. Matthew 25. But just because you get it, it doesn't mean you're going to keep it, right? So there's people that have been baptized, and they're still, like I said, sheep and goats. You know, the wheat and the tare, and they're still going back to the world, going back to the principality of the airway, going back to the internet, looking for more. They're looking for that next best thing after sliced bread, you know. They're looking for more because they can't understand the pure truth of Scripture, because they've never really had the living water because of their pride, right, because of their human nature. So Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, right? "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be compared to 10 virgins who, taking their lamps, went out to a meeting of the bridegroom and the bride. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. Those being foolish, taking their lamps, they did not take oil with them," right? The oil is like that living water, the Spirit of Yahweh. "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." The wise are the ones that have that living water. The wise are the ones that are staying in the Word of Yahweh. The wise are the ones that are reading this every day. They're praying every day, and they're staying with their relationship with Yahweh. "But the bridegroom delayed, all nodded and slept," right? That's the time we're in now. The bridegroom's delaying, and everyone's nodding and slept. "And at midnight a cry occurred, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him.' And all those virgins were aroused and prepared their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" But you know what? You can't. You can't get it. You have to. It takes every day of your life being in your Bible and praying to Yahweh and disciplining your life and staying out of the world. That's what it takes. It's not a one-time thing. It takes day in and day out, month in and month out, year in and year out to stay this way. And you know what? If you don't, when Yeshua's coming, you're not going to be able to turn to the next guy that's been doing it and say, "Give me some of what you have." It doesn't work that way, right? And what do those wise ones say? "But the wise answered and said, 'No, lest there not be enough for us and you. But rather go to those who sell and buy for yourself,'" right? Go to the internet. Go to the website that's telling you the earth is flat. Go to the website where Book of Enoch is. "Go to those who sell and buy for yourself." And there's a lot of them. There's probably a million websites out there and all these teachers that are going to give you, like I said, all this stuff that they're going to give you. And they'll give you 30 ways that water this, but they'll never give you the true living water. And don't forget, they're going to sell it to you for $49.99. You know, you're not going to, they're not going to give it to you. No, because this is too valuable. They would give it to you. It's not that they want the money, but they want to make sure that you really want it. $49.99. Come on, come on. How silly can people be? And it's because of their pride. It's their human nature. Because they didn't go to the true water of life in the word of Yahweh, so they're panicking. They're panicking as Yeshua is coming, and they're looking for the quick fix. And there is no quick fix. You got to discipline your life. You got to do it day in and day out, right? But they going away to buy, the bridegroom came. And those ready went into him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the rest of the virgins also came, saying, Master, open to us. But answering, he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you, right? Not everyone that says to me, Master, Master, will be in the kingdom, but the one doing the will of the Father in heaven. Therefore, be alert. Be alert. Be awake. Have that living water in your life. For you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man comes, right? Only Yahweh knows. We know it's close, but we don't know when. And that's why we have to be preparing every single day if we want to be overcomers. Because we do not know the day or the hour the Son of Man comes. Those who are looking in the wrong places to false shepherds will get left out. You must follow the only true living water for eternal life. There's no shortcut. No shortcut to eternal life. 2 Samuel 15, 14 and 15. 2 Samuel 15, 14 and 15. And this is when David is fleeing from Absalom. Remember, it happened very quickly, just like I'm talking about here in Matthew 25. So this happens very quickly. David doesn't know it. This is going on behind his back, that Absalom is pulling the people. Then, boom, it all happens at once. Absalom is coming. He's going to overthrow David's palace. 2 Samuel 15, verse 14. And David said to all his servants who were with him in Jerusalem, rise up and we will flee, for we have no escape from the face of Absalom. Hurry to leave, that he not overtake us and bring evil down on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword. They had to work quick, or they would have been dead. And the king's servant said to the king, according to all that my master the king desires, behold, your servants will do. And what did they do? They left quick. They had to leave in the night, or they could have been killed. Now go to chapter 17 in verse 27, because now they're leaving. They're going over the Mount of Olives, right? And they're rushing quick, and they're tired. 2 Samuel 17, verse 27. And Absalom had set Amasa over the army instead of Joab. And Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Uthra the Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, the sister of Zeruiah. Verse 27, I'm sorry, I'm in verse 25. And it happened as David came into Mahanaim, Shobi, the son of Nahash from Rabbah, of the sons of Ammon, right? This is in Amman, Jordan. And Makar, the son of Amiel from Lodibar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Rogalim, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels. So these are friends of his, right? They heard what was going on and they brought supplies to King David because they had to flee. And they brought barley and flour and wheat and roasted grain and beans and lentils and roasted grain and honey and curds and sheep and cheese from the herd for David and for the people who were with him to eat. Now listen, for they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. They're hungry and weary and they're thirsty in the wilderness. You know, this is the time now where Yahweh is calling his people to the wilderness. The Israelites, it was 40 years. I don't believe it'll be 40 years for us, but I don't know. I don't know if that is going to be 15 years, 10 years, another 5 years or 3 years. I have no idea. All I know is it's the time to go to the wilderness and the next stop is the promised land, right? But are you thirsty in the wilderness, right? Were you prepared? Because I've been talking about it for a while before Yahweh called his congregation to the wilderness. Were you preparing for the wilderness? And are you preparing now? Because we're really just starting this wilderness journey now. It's really only beginning now. Everything else was a preparation till now. If we are not prepared and we have to leave quickly, you're going to get thirsty really quick. Because water is the one thing. how much can you carry with you? And you have to drink a lot of it. You know, you have to drink liters a day or a gallon a day, right? So how much can you really take with you? It's not something that you only take a little bit of. So if you are not prepared and you have to leave quickly, you can get thirsty pretty quickly. Amos 8 and verse 11. Amos 8 and verse 11. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares Adonai Yahweh, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but rather a famine for the hearing of the words of Yahweh," right? So if you are not preparing now, if you're not studying every day, if you're not praying every day, if you're not fasting regularly, if you're not focusing on Yahweh and have a relationship with Him, as we see what happened with King David, when this whole world changes quickly, and it's already changing, and COVID was such a blessing to us because we saw it. We saw it was virtually overnight that the world changed. And the people that weren't ready, they were scared. And you know what? I was scared because I wasn't ready. I thank Yahweh so much for showing me COVID, because COVID showed me how I need to get ready and how I need to come out of the world and how the time is now. We can't waste any more time, right? So that's what he's saying. It's not going to be a famine of food or for bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine for the hearing of the words of Yahweh. And if you are not ready for this, you are going to perish in the wilderness, because you need spiritual water as well as physical water in the wilderness. "And they shall stagger from sea to sea, and from north even to east. They shall roam about to seek the word of Yahweh, and they shall not find it." Because you know what? Our website won't be up anymore. Pretty soon, they're already setting it all up. And unfortunately, you know, the ones that thought Donald Trump was the Messiah and the Savior and all these things, he's the biggest guy now who's pushing with all this internet stuff that it's going to be illegal for people like us, you know. And you're going to have to pay and all this other stuff. But even if you have the money to pay, people that have the truth, it won't be on there, right? So unless you're building that now, unless you're doing it now, there's going to be a famine that comes. And look at verse 12. "They'll stagger from sea to sea, from north to east. They'll roam about to seek the word of Yahweh, and they will not find it." Look at verse 13. And think what we just read in Matthew 25 on the 10 virgins. "In that day, the beautiful virgins and the young men will faint with thirst." Didn't we just read that? Right? The virgins that were unwise, not the wise ones. The wise ones will never thirst. That's what Yeshua said. But the unwise virgins and the young men will faint with thirst. And I realized during COVID, you know, because I've been a believer now going on 40 years, a pastor for 30 years. And I used to think I could wake everybody up. I used to think if only something could happen, if only this, if only, you know, that happens, then they'll see it. And I realized during COVID, there's a lot of people that you'll never wake up. No matter what you say, what's going to happen is when something comes that's fearful, an earthquake or this or that, they'll wake up for about 5 seconds. And then once the thing passes, they'll go right back to their life. You know why? Because they love the world more than the things of Yahweh. And that's just a fact. But the ones I'm trying to wake up are the people who don't love the world more than the things of Yahweh. And the people that are looking at the word of Yahweh, the only thing that will quench your thirst is a relationship with Yahweh. That has to be the premise. That has to be the foundation of all of us. And once you have that pure, 100% pure relationship with Yahweh and Yeshua, and you're only seeking the words of life from His word and nothing else, that's where you'll have the living water forever. It will never come away from you. So, like I said, there'll be a drought in the end of the world, and we must prepare now or you will not survive. Like we saw with the 10 virgins, you're not going to be able to at the end, because you know what? You'll only be doing it for yourself and for fear. You won't be doing it for the right reasons anyway. If you're really doing it for the right reasons, then don't wait another day. Start today. Build your relationship with Yahweh. You know, get off social media. Limit your time on the internet and make Yahweh first in your life. Isaiah 44, because the time is short. Time is short, and there's no more time for playing games, because it doesn't happen. You don't build a relationship. You know this in life. Do you build a relationship? Do you meet somebody in a couple hours, you marry them, or they become your best friend in minutes? No. Relationships take time. They take effort. And it's the same way with Yahweh and your calling. It takes time and it takes effort and it takes discipline in your life. Isaiah 44 says, "And now listen, my servant Jacob, and Israel whom I have chosen. So says Yahweh, who made you and formed you from the womb. He helps you. Do not fear, my servant Jacob, and you Jeshurun whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on a thirsty place and floods on the dry land." Right? There will be water in the wilderness. Don't worry. "I will pour my spirit on your seed and my blessing on your offspring. And they shall sprout as among grass, as willows by streams of water. This one shall say, I belong to Yahweh. And this one will call himself by the name of Jacob. And this one shall write with his hand for Yahweh and be surnamed by the name of Israel. So says Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer," Yahweh of hosts, two of them, right? "So says Yahweh, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts," Yahweh and Yeshua, "I am the first and I am the last. There is no Elohim except me. And who as I shall call and shall declare this and set it in order before me, since I placed the people of old. And as to things to come, even which shall come, let them declare concerning them. Do not dread, do not be afraid. I have not declared and made you hear since then. Do not dread, do not be afraid. Have I not declared and made you hear since then? So you are my witnesses. Is there a Eloah beside me? Yes, there is none. I have not known a rock." So it is a promise for Yahweh to give to those who seek with a pure heart the latter rain. That's what he's talking about here. That there will be no drought in the wilderness. Those with a pure heart, Yahweh will give the latter rain. Joel 2. In verse 23. "Then be glad, sons of Zion, and rejoice in Yahweh your Elohim, for he is giving you the early rain according to righteousness, and he will cause the rain to come down to you, the early rain and the latter rain in the first month," and here we are, right? The early rain and the latter rain, and wow, and it's pouring out there. And verse 28, "And it shall be afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions." And it's amazing, not only myself, that I've seen several visions from Yahweh that have come to pass, but other brethren and elders have written me that are also having dreams by Yahweh. So this is being fulfilled. We are in that latter rain. I said that I believe since 2:15 Shavuot that Yahweh is pouring out his spirit in the latter rain. And the people, I see the brethren maturing. I see them getting more mature. I see them wanting to use their spiritual gifts. The ones that aren't thirsty. The ones that are thirsty, I see again going to the sides, the goats that are looking for something else and having more and more trials and being unhappy. But the ones that aren't thirsty, that Yahweh is filling with his spirit, I see them growing amazingly. And the time is short, so we need to get ready. Let's go to Psalm 63. Psalm 63, 1-3. A psalm of King David when he was in the wilderness of Judah, right? So this is a wilderness psalm. "O Elohim, you are my El, I earnestly seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you as in a dry and weary land without water," right? Do you feel that way? Is your soul thirsting for Yahweh? "For your loving kindness is better than life. My lips give praise to you." Your loving kindness is better than life. That needs to be our thirst. Our soul should be thirsting for Yahweh. We should want that relationship. Because once you have that pure relationship, once you're hearing the voice of Yahweh, once you're waking up and you can't wait to open up your Bible and read his word, and he talks to you every day from that word, and you're praying to him and he's talking to your mind, then you have so much peace in your life. And like Yeshua said, some rivers of living water are flowing from your belly. Psalm 42, 1-2, and then I'll drop down to verse 6 and 7. Psalm 42, 1 and 2. "To the chief musician, a contemplation for the sons of Kor. As the deer pants after the channels of water, so my soul pants after you, O Elohim. My soul thirsts for Elohim, for the living Elohim. When shall I come and see the face of Elohim?" Drop down to verse 6. "Oh, my Elohim, my soul is cast down within me. On account of this, I remember you from the land of Jordan and from the Hermons, from Mount Mitzah. Deep calls to deep through the voice of your waterfalls. All your waves and your billows have passed over me.
Wow.
So isn't that kind of interesting? In the end time, where is he saying? From the land of Jordan. That's where in the wilderness that Yahweh is pouring out this living water to his people. Jeremiah 17:7-8. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh, and Yahweh is his refuge. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. It sends out its roots by the stream, and it will not fear when the heat comes, but its foliage will be green, and it is not anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." Right? Yahweh's water will always be there to the person, like he says, who trusts in Yahweh, and Yahweh is his refuge. So is our thirst after Yahweh, or is it after worldly water? You know? Where is it? Are we seeking Yahweh's wilderness? And like I said, the wilderness is in Jordan. That's where it was the first time. Saudi Arabia, that's where it starts. Everything starts in Mount Sinai. And while for Yahweh to open up that door to us in the times we're living in, that literally after 3,500 years, he's opened up that door for us to actually go to the original Mount Sinai and learn and see what the Israelites went through for us to overcome. And like I said, I wanted to go there for more than 30 years. I would have given my right arm for it. And praise Yahweh, he opened that door. What are we willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of Yahweh? It's a Laodicean era, remember that. And most people are Laodicean to one degree or another. What are we willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of Yahweh? Deuteronomy 8 and verse 14. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 14. "Then it rises up into your heart, and you forget Yahweh Elohim, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slaves, who led you through the great and dreadful wilderness with burning and serpent and scorpion and thirsty ground where no water is, who brought you water out of the flinty rock, who made you eat manna in the wilderness, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might prove you to do to you good at your latter end. And that you not say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have made this wealth for me." And that's the danger in the Laodicean era in commercial Babylon. Because even if people don't say it, they think it. They're trying to secure themselves through mammon. And that's not faith, not trusting in Yahweh whatsoever. If you prepare, there will never be drought in your life. And the way to prepare is not necessarily physically, you know, although at times we prepare physically because we believe in the word of Yahweh, but it's preparing spiritually. That's the way you got to know. Isaiah 41, Isaiah 41, verse 17 through 20. Isaiah 41, verse 17 through 20. "The poor and the needy seek water, and there is none. Their tongue is parched for thirst." That's the world out there today. The world is seeking that living water, but they're not seeking it in the right places, and their tongues are parched for thirst. "I, Yahweh, will hear them. The Elohim of Israel will not leave them. I will open rivers in bare places and fountains in the midst of valleys. I will make the desert for a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant cedar in the wilderness, acacia and myrtle and the oil tree." We go, as we're driving down to Mount Sinai and around in Jordan, we see the acacia trees all over in the wilderness. "I will set fir, pine, and boxwood together in the desert," right? Yahweh is turning the desert into the Garden of Eden. "So that they may see and know and set up and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it," right? So that's what we're looking for. Yahweh has the living waters. And like I said, in the wilderness, you don't want to see a mirage. You want to see that real living water that's going to make the wilderness back into the Garden of Eden again. And you can only get those living waters from Yahweh. "Yahweh will fulfill our thirst if we are thirsting for his righteousness in the wilderness." Right? Some people, they're not even there. Some people are not even started the wilderness journey, not even mentally. Right? And those are the five foolish virgins They're the ones that are going to be locked out and left behind. And like I said, no matter what I say, they will not wake up. But when something happens out of fear, then they're going to want it real quick. But it doesn't work that way, like I said. But Yahweh, if we are doing our part, if we are seeking Him in righteousness and truth from His Word, He will fulfill our thirst in the wilderness. Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Verse 15. Revelation 7 and verse 15. It says, because of this, they are before the throne of Elohim and serve Him day and night in His sanctuary. And He's sitting on the throne will tabernacle over them. Talking about Yeshua, right? These are the people that survive in the end time. These are the first fruits that come, right? And He says, because the Lamb in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. And He will lead them on springs of living water. And Yahweh will wipe off every tear from their eyes. So when Yeshua comes, there'll be no drought ever again. The people that trust in Him, that are preparing now, that are coming out of the world, that are putting Him first in life, He will lead them on springs of living water. In the kingdom, there will never be a drought, but abundant waters forever. Jeremiah 51. But Babylon is the opposite, right? We know that the land of Babylon, USA, is going to be destroyed completely. And commercial Babylon, the system that America has brought to the world, is also going to be destroyed. So Jeremiah 51, I'm going to read verse 36 and 37. Jeremiah 51, verse 36 and 37, then I'll drop down to verse 43. And it says, so Yahweh says this, behold, I will strive for you and take vengeance for you, and I will dry up her sea and make her well dry. Right? There is no living water. The bride and the bridegroom are not in Babylon in the end time. There's no living water there. And Babylon shall become heaps, a home for jackals, a horror and a hissing, without one inhabitant, because nobody can live without water. And there's no living water there. Verse 43, her cities have become a ruin, a dry land and a wilderness, a land in which no man dwells, nor does any son of man pass by it. Right? And Babylon is like that forever. It is a dry land because the Spirit of Yahweh is not there. Yahweh's Spirit has left, and the Spirit of Yahweh is not there. Commercial Babylon will forever be a dry land, no water of life. And yet the kingdom of Yahweh will have abundant water forever. Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Verse 6 and 7. And He said to me, it is done. I am the Aleph and the Tav, the beginning and the ending. To the one thirsting, I will freely give of the fountain of the water of life. The one overcoming will inherit all things. I will be Elohim to him, and he will be the son to me, right? So that's the thing. We have to endure to the end. We have to be overcomers. And the ones who do, the ones that are thirsting, he will freely give of the fountain of the water of life. Time is short. We got to dedicate these few last short days we have on this earth. We got to give 100% of ourselves to the work of Yahweh and building our relationship with Him. We really have to do that. That's got to be our number one. That's our vocation in life, and that's got to be our number one calling in our life, to seek that living water through Yahweh and through Yeshua. Water is life. You know, are we thirsty for the only true living water, or are we going to muddy water of the prince of the power of the airwaves, Satan? Revelation 22. Revelation 22. 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of life. A pure river of life. Bright as crystal, coming forth out of the throne of Yahweh and out of the Lamb. Can you imagine that? In the midst of its streets in the city, on this side and that side was a river. And that side, in the midst of the street and of the city, on this side and on that side of the river, was a tree of life, producing 12 fruits, according to 1 month each, yielding its fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Wow, every month it's going to be giving it. Drop down to verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And the one hearing, let him say, Come. And the one thirsting, let him come. And the one desiring, let him take of the water of life freely. Let me read that again. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And the one hearing, let him say, Come. And the one thirsting, let him say, Come. And the one desiring, let him take of the water of life freely. And that's what I'm saying. If you're thirsting for Yahweh, come. 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 Follow. Follow. Seek it. Put this first in your life. In verse 20, the one testifying these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Right? Revelation, the book of Revelation is open. It was written for the end time. It was written in real time. John was seeing it in real time. And now it is open, and it's not the beginning of Revelation. It's toward the end of Revelation. Look what he says. The one testifying these things says, Yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Yes, come, Yeshua, Yahweh. Right? Don't close the words of the book because the time is now. The time is now. Water is life. Are we thirsty for the true living water? There's a saying, probably heard this before, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? We each have our own free will, and we must decide to be thirsty from the world or be fulfilled through Yahweh. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. The water that Yahweh is offering is through his rock, which will give life forever. It will fulfill every need and desire, and it will make someone content to never be thirsty again, like we read. Are you seeking this water daily? Yahweh bless. Hag Sameach.